Today, April 11th, the year 2001. We're in East Lansing, Michigan. I'm Jeff Charnley, interviewing Professor Arthur F. Brandstatter for the MSU Oral History Project for the sesquicentennial. It's coming up in 4 years, in the year 2005. Professor Brandstatter, you can see we have a tape recorder here, and you give us permission to tape you?
Right, I do.
Okay. I'd like to start first with some questions about your general educational and personal background. Where were you born and educated at high school?
Well, I was born in McKees Rocks, Pennsylvania. And my folks moved to Michigan when I was about 2 years old. So I don't remember much about McKees Rocks. And we lived in Ecorse. We moved to Ecorse. My dad worked for the boat building firm in River Rouge, Michigan, which is an adjacent community to Ecorse. And I went to Ecorse High School and graduated from the Ecorse High School.
What year did you graduate?
1933. That's a long time ago.
So during the Depression.
Right.
What was your interest in? Did you work any work outside the home or work?
Yes, I did. I knew I was going to school. I've had offers. I was an athlete, and one of the local coaches recommended to people who were inquiring about athletics if they should recruit me because I'm a pretty good athlete. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's what happened, and I finished Michigan at Ecorse High School and knew I was going on to college somewhere, and I decided on Michigan State. It'll be interesting, I think, for some people at least to know that I was recruited by John Hanna and John Coles, who was the baseball coach at the time. Mm-hmm. Both of them showed up at my home, and my dad at that time was in a neighborhood grocery and meat market, and that's the business we were in for most of my youth. And they showed up there and talked to me, and I was impressed with what they had to say. And John Hanna was not secretary or president, obviously, in those days. Mm-hmm. But he was in the Poultry Extension Service, agriculture. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea, of course, that he'd ultimately end up president of the university, but he did. And it turned out to be a very good contact for me.
An early one. Yeah. Did you play all sports in high school?
In high school, I played football and basketball and baseball and a little bit of track. Mm-hmm. I was always active in athletics.
So you were recruited for baseball?
No.
Or for football?
Football.
Had you been to campus before their arrival on your doorstep?
What?
Had you been to campus?
No. No, I had not. Mm-hmm. No, I had not. University of Detroit was making a valiant effort to get me to go there, but I hadn't visited any campus at that time. Mm-hmm. So I listened to what they had to say and made a decision later. Mm-hmm. Ended up working at the Great Lakes Steel Mill, earned some money. Mm-hmm. And then that following fall, I enrolled here at Michigan State.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember anything about the campus when you first arrived? Any early impressions?
Well, it was relatively small, and very friendly, I thought, at that time. And I guess that's one of the things that interested me. At the time, I met the coaches. Charles Bachman was the head coach. Tom King was the end coach, and the backfield coach was a fellow named Miles Castile. And they're all very cordial and friendly, and that's what I remember most about the place. Mm-hmm. But there was no difficulty, really, in visiting with people, and they were willing to do whatever you wanted, might be interested in, join you around, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. What positions did you play? In football?
I played fullback. Mm-hmm. And that's what I played here. Ended up getting All-American honors, I might add. Mm-hmm.
How many years, or was it just?
I played 3 years.
3 years. Yeah,
uh-huh.
1934, 35,
and 36.
So the, those years, your overlap, you would have played President Ford?
No, was he
earlier?
Yeah, 1 year.
1 year.
We overlapped 1 year.
1 year, 34 probably.
Ann Arbor, University of Michigan. Mm-hmm.
The what did you study as an undergraduate?
Well, when I came here, I wanted to be in education. I was going to be a teacher, mm-hmm. and during the course of my stay here in Michigan State, during my sophomore year, I was asked to go to the state police barracks. You know, they were right across the street from the campus, mm-hmm. and somebody arranged for me to have a room over there, so I got room and board at the state police headquarters building and their facilities, and that's what happened.
It wasn't far from the stadium then either.
No.
Or practice fields.
Not far at all. And I worked over there. I cleaned the rooms of the detectives who lived in part of the building, including the commissioner's office. Which worked out in my favor over the years. He was a good man to know, and he was very friendly and very kind to me.
Mm-hmm. Who was that?
Commissioner Oscar G. Olander.
Okay.
And he was a good friend of the university people, mm-hmm. particularly John Hanna and others.
Mm-hmm. So you started emptying waste baskets at the state police?
Absolutely. Right.
Done like from the bottom up, that's for sure.
It paid us, I think it was either 25 cents or 50 cents. For a room.
A room. Well, so that was your introduction to police work, or was there?
Well, that's the result of being over there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I was close to the police activity, uh-huh. and once in a while we went out with the state police patrol cars. There was another fellow with me, Ed Jones, who was also interested in the police ad program. And we knew it was here, but I didn't get interested in pursuing my interest in the police ad program until I ended up getting some experience with the troopers in the state police. Mm-hmm. And once in a while, as I said, they would ask us to ride with them, and we'd go out with them, and they'd do whatever they had to do, and we'd observe and watch. And I got very much interested in law enforcement, mm-hmm. and I ended up transferring from the education program to the school, what was then called the School of Police Administration. And I've been in that work all my life.
The when you graduated in, what year was it, 1930? When you graduated from college.
Yeah,
1938. Okay.
Incidentally, it was a five-year course at that time.
Five-year.
University had a, what they call a year and a half, 18 months field service training program.
Okay. That was an internship?
Title. Pardon?
It was like an internship?
Yes, that's mm-hmm. exactly what it was, mm-hmm. an internship. Mm-hmm. We were sent out to the state police and local police, spent 6 months with the Detroit Police Department, mm-hmm. working in various bureaus and the Detroit Department. It was a great experience, and I think it's too bad it had to be eliminated. Ultimately, it just cost too much. Mm-hmm. At that time, we were supposed to get $1 a day. Well, you never got it.
Well, after graduation, where did you go to work?
Well, you might recall, I was with the Detroit Police Department shortly before we graduated. And I was asked to come back and join the department. And those were days when there weren't many jobs around, obviously. And so I took the opportunity and joined the Detroit Police Department. And in order to do that, be accepted by them, I had to be resident of the city. Mm-hmm. And I established residence at the YMCA in downtown Detroit. And went to the training academy from there, and graduated from that academy, and then was assigned to a precinct as a patrolman. I was called the college cop.
College cop, because you had a degree?
Yeah, I had a degree in police administration. Mm-hmm.
Your classmates at the academy, what were their backgrounds varied, or they hadn't gone to school?
Pretty varied. In those mm-hmm. days, it was primarily high school graduates. Mm-hmm. They had a few college graduates. I was one of them, mm-hmm. who were interested in good-paying jobs and then represented some income for them. Mm-hmm. We started out at $2,000 a year, I might add. Mm-hmm.
Were you married at that time?
Where'd
that come? I didn't mean it to be like a quiz. It came later. Yeah. How long did you work at the Detroit department?
About 3 years. I earned a commission, obviously, going through the ROTC program here. Mm-hmm. And I was a second lieutenant. And I was ordered to active duty about 9 or 10 months before the war broke out.
Oh, really?
And I was, of course, a member of the police department. And I had opportunities to go to General Motors in their security program, but when they found out I was an officer in a reserve, they weren't interested in me because they knew I would be called to active duty. They had apparently some knowledge about the university or the Detroit Police Department and reserve officers being called to active duty. Mm-hmm. And I was ultimately called to active duty. Mm-hmm. And I think it was February 1933, if I recall correctly, somewhere in that.
It was in 41?
Pardon?
In 41? February 41?
Yeah, February 41.
Before Pearl Harbor.
Before, Pearl Harbor occurred.
Mm-hmm. And Europe was ongoing. Yeah.
And I was ordered to active duty to the Army Air Corps was one agency in those days, mm-hmm. and they subsequently separated, but I was ordered to active duty at Scott Air Force Base. And I couldn't understand that because my training at Michigan State had all been in cavalry and armor.
Mm-hmm. And like the Army.
Yeah. And of course, my wife was concerned, and mm-hmm. we were married at that time. Shortly after, I joined the Detroit Police Department. So anyway, I went on active duty, and I told my wife I'd probably be transferred again because I couldn't imagine why they'd assigned me to an Air Force facility. Mm-hmm. But it turned out that I stayed there for quite a while.
Did you serve overseas?
I ultimately was sent overseas and became part of the occupation forces in Korea.
Korea. Oh.
Yeah.
But most of the war you were stateside?
Most of the war I was stateside, right.
But you didn't serve in the military police during that time, or?
No. I was in the armor.
In the army.
Oh,
armor.
Oh,
okay.
Yep. And I was supposed to go to Japan. Matter of fact, I had an assignment to Osaka, where I would be involved with the other military government officers in establishing police service and other necessary activities in the city. And when I got to MacArthur's headquarters, I was reassigned to Korea. And I'd never heard of Korea. Never studied Korea. Mm-hmm. And or knew anything about them. So I was assigned to Okinawa for a while with a team that was preparing to move into Korea and establish government and provide services that were required in those days. And I had to reestablish and reorganize the entire police force with another fellow, and we worked under the authority of a full colonel who drove me up a wall. I never smoked, and I ended up smoking 2 times a day. I'll never forget him. Reamer W. Argo.
Reamer
W.
He was a full-bird
colonel.
He was a
very difficult person. Mm. But anyway, we did what we had to, and I stayed there for several months, till I got word through my wife that the university and this East Lansing were looking for a new police chief. And the commissioner of the state police, I found out later, had recommended that they find that kid named Brandstetter and hire him.
So you were in Korea at the time?
I was in Korea.
Korea, uh-huh.
Yeah, and I applied for leave to go back home, and it was denied because I was in what they call a specialist category in the military because of my training. I spent 9 months or 6 months at Northwestern University studying civil affairs, and about 3 months at the University of Virginia studying military government doctrine. And anybody who signed up for those courses or were assigned to them and completed the training is required to extend their time of service. Mm-hmm. So I could have been held several more months or a year. Mm-hmm. And I was a Catholic, still am. I used to go to church in Korea. And I met a major general, a fellow named General Arnold, who was Hap Arnold, who was chief of the Air Force, brother. So when they turned me down, I solicited his advice and aid and suggested that he might pull some strings and make sure I was released from active service. Mm-hmm. Well, I told him what had happened, obviously, and he did. He took an interest in my case, and lo and behold, they relieved me, and I came back to the States and came into, I've forgotten, some post way out in the south, in the west, mm-hmm. in California or Oregon or somewhere out there. But anyway, returned to the States and was then sent to Fort Sheridan, Illinois, where I was relieved from all active duty.
Mm-hmm. What was your rank at the end of the war, or when you ended
Lieutenant
your service?
Colonel.
You were a Lieutenant Colonel.
Yeah.
Did you continue on in the reserves?
I continued in the reserve and ended up a full colonel and finally became a general officer. Mm-hmm. Became Brigadier General. I took over a prisoner of war command. That was a new activity in the Army because of the riots they had with combat troops in the Pacific with some PWs. Mm-hmm. There was no doctrine. What happened, the Army was severely criticized. They sent combat troops in to quell the riot, and of course they shot everybody up.
Uh-huh.
And they decided they better establish a doctrine and give some of their personnel an experience. They established the 300th Prisoner of War Command in Michigan, and located it in Dearborn. Well, they had a commanding officer come in from New York to initiate the first program with the staff that were assigned to that particular activity. And he went back to New York, and then the Sixth Army personnel called me, wanted to know if I would be interested because I had the credentials. I was a graduate of military school. The only thing I didn't have was the graduate of Command General Staff College, mm-hmm. which was a tough program in the military.
Yeah. Was that at Leavenworth?
Yeah, it was at Leavenworth. Mm-hmm. So I took the assignment, and I was about ready to retire, frankly, but I decided I'd take that assignment because of rare occasion you have to get a flag rank mm-hmm. assignment. So I took it, but I was informed by the chief of staff of the, I think it was the 5th Army, not the 6th, that I'd have to go to Command General Staff College to retain the post. Well, I didn't think much about that. 6 months later, he called me, mm-hmm. and four informed me that unless I made application and went, they would relieve me of my assignment. So needless to say, I got a leave of absence from Michigan State. Mm-hmm. And in those days, the Command General Staff College at Fort Leavenworth had two programs, a short program and a long program. One was a year, the other was about 6 months, 5 or 6 months. And in one case, they let the student personnel out on Wednesdays or Wednesday afternoon. In the other case, you went to school 6 days a week. So I went and took the short program, graduated, came back. Lo and behold, I got promoted to Brigadier General. So that's what I did in the military, and finally resigned, retired from the military, and there's no reason for me to keep active anymore, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
The when you came back to Michigan State, what were some of your early recollections and how the campus had changed? John Hanna was president then, wasn't he? 1946. How would you describe the campus at the time?
That's an interesting story. Let me back up a little bit for you. I knew John Hanna, of course, since he recruited me for the football team. And on one occasion, when I was assigned to Chicago on a temporary assignment, I heard that John Hanna was in town, and he always stayed at the Drake Hotel. Well, I thought I'd call him up and say hello and tell him I happened to be in Chicago on this special assignment. So he invited me to have dinner with him that night, which I did. And after dinner, I thought we'd go out and visit, roam around the town, maybe go to a theater. But no, he said, let's go up to my room. We can visit and find out what you've been doing, and so on and so forth. So we did. Finally, he asked me a question about the police ad program, which existed at the time. I might add that Dean Houston and Commissioner Olander and Hannah and others were primarily responsible for the program here, including Dr. I can't think of his name. I'll think of it in a moment.
Okay.
Somebody else that was very active in getting the program started. And Hannah asked me what I thought about it. So I'd graduated from it and had very few courses in the police ad field. They only had one course, and that was, I think it was law, mm-hmm. and a course in organization. And I thought there ought to be more courses that dealt with the field itself and the organizations that existed, the kind of police service we have, and so on and so forth. So I outlined for him, at his request, what I thought ought to be done. Well, I never thought anything about it. Then I went that evening, I went back to my home. I had an apartment on the south side of Chicago. And I'm convinced that as a result of that experience, one evening, Hannah got me back on campus and ultimately asked me to serve as chairman of that program, which I did. But I am thoroughly convinced that the only reason, and one of the reasons, perhaps the primary one, was the fact that he and I had discussed this and I had made some comments about planning that ought to go on, courses that ought to be introduced into the program. Mm-hmm. So I ended up here. That's how I think I got the job, based on it.
Did you take courses too while you were additional advanced? Graduate courses while you were here, or?
Oh, I didn't. I took several courses in the Civil Affairs Training School at Northwestern University, and I took a lot of courses in what essentially would be called political science courses, dealing with Japan and history of Japan and all the rest of it, the structure of Japanese government, and also Japanese. I spent 6 months learning to speak Japanese with an Nisai. We were two or three in a class, and so it was a one-to-one situation, pretty much. So I did that, and as a result, what was your question?
I was asking about courses, graduate courses that you took on campus.
Well,
and you said you mentioned Northwestern courses.
I finally decided I needed at least an advanced degree, and I inquired to see if the courses I took at Northwestern University would be acceptable towards an advanced degree, master's. And I found out that they were, so I requested the transfer of the courses, and I got credit for about a half of what you needed to get a master's degree at Michigan State. Mm-hmm. The other half I took at State while I was with the police ad program, and I took some of the courses here and fill out the necessary requirements for a master's, which included the work that they accepted here from Northwestern University. Mm-hmm. So that's how I got the master's.
Were there other universities that were developing police administration courses?
Yes, across the country, pretty much in California.
California?
Concentrated mm-hmm. in California, and especially among the junior colleges.
That was the emphasis.
Yeah.
So MSU was part of that, yeah. that movement.
MSU was really the pioneer. Mm-hmm. I think the first, they were leaders in the field, and the first program that offered a degree. There were programs existed, but they did not offer degrees.
I see.
You could take courses and get credit for them, but Washington State was one, University of California at Berkeley was another. Mm-hmm. But Michigan State was the first degree-granting program.
I see.
5-year program.
Yeah. And most cities didn't require a degree at the time.
No,
they
no.
just had to go to the academy. No. But.
And one of the reasons I was interested in police ad was because, having served in a big police department and having visited a number of others over the years, especially during the in-service field training program, I was convinced that something had to be done to upgrade the quality of personnel moving into the field. Because many of the people that came in were either 10th grade graduates or high school graduates who were being recruited by police departments. And I always felt that it was a very complex requirement of police officers to deal with the kind of problem they had to, you know. And also to make friends with the communities they were serving, or at least be considered friendly. And I felt that this was a great opportunity for me to upgrade the law enforcement personnel throughout the country and to perhaps require a baccalaureate degree in order to become a police officer. So my purpose then initially was to get staff and add more courses. Turner was one of the first ones in the field of investigation, quite obviously. He's a forensic scientist, but he also had investigative responsibilities. And then I was teaching law here, which I had no business teaching. But then we got a former judge and lawyer from New York, Bob Scott. We brought him in to teach the law courses and others. To teach appropriate courses. But anyway, that's what happened here, and we began with a program designed to train young men to be professionals in the law enforcement field, and it's worked. I'm real pleased with what happened. Today, if you see these ads that are looking for personnel in police departments, most of them require the baccalaureate degree, or in some cases, even the PhD.
Yeah.
And if not the PhD, they usually require the baccalaureate and the master's degree.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done it.
Were there any areas, even in the early years, where people could look to Michigan State and say, well, if you want this area of policing, you go there? And that,
exactly.
What were some that naturally that developed here?
Yeah, well,
particular
that
expertise.
We We, as a result, we got students from all over the country, and we established a reputation. We were generally considered the outstanding program of its kind. And the evaluations that were conducted by agencies that evaluated universities and programs in the university invariably came up with the recommendation that we'd be considered the number one program. We had Turner, who had a master's degree, we had Scott, who had a law degree, which was equivalent to a doctorate, and he was a former judge. So we had good people and good programs, and we had outstanding instructors, and they had experience. So we actually were rated, and never were rated less than among the top three in the country, even when they got several other universities involved. And all of a sudden, you know, subsequently, why, these programs developed all over the country. And now there are, what, 1,000 or more, I'm sure.
In those early years, who were the other competing schools?
One of the
that had a good program?
Yeah. The University of California at Berkeley. And now that program was discontinued. Why, I don't know. Washington State University and the University of Washington, as a matter of fact, one of the faculty we hired came from the University of Washington in Seattle. Those were some of the programs that were leading programs. There's